Thank you, Jesus, for all the noise, all the voices. There's that one that we recognize, that we trust. The Father's voice singing love over us. Singing acceptance over us, singing forgiveness over us, singing grace over us, singing life over us, singing hope over us. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us to hear that voice. And thank you, Shia, for such an amazing time of worship. I know we're going to continue to hear the Father's voice now, because that's what Mark exudes. So Mark, when you come and speak to us, let me just pray a quick blessing on you, my friend. Thank you, Father, for this man. And thank you for the word that he carries, for the anointing that he carries. And we just want to open up our hearts to receive that. In Jesus' name, bless him, bless his wife and children. Thank you for calling them to this country, to this nation, for this time. Amen. Amen. Just turn to the person next to them and say, God's going to speak to you now.
Wonderful. Well, it's great to be with you all this afternoon. And thank you, Sister Sheila, for the worship. That was beautiful. We could have just stayed there all afternoon, don't you think? Just what a beautiful sense of God's presence. And just love to, it's so important to take time just to be with him, isn't it? Yeah. It's what it's all about. And the things we do are amazing. But to be with him is the ultimate. It's about being still in his presence and just letting the Father's love just touch our hearts and just remind us of who we are and who he says that we are. And that's where the life is to be found, isn't it? And but at the same time, there's a world out there that needs that which we have. And passionate about seeing people encounter him and us becoming an encounter for other people as well. And so thank you for having me. It's a great honor and a privilege to be with you. I want to read to you out of the book of Ephesians, and then I just felt to share a little bit of my testimony, if that'd be okay, and some things that God really just, I guess, did in my life and stuff that I still carry to this day, and hopefully that will encourage you and inspire you today. So if you have a Bible, we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 1. If you don't, maybe just listen as we read together. Ephesians 1 verse 17 through to verse 19. Don't you love the book of Ephesians? So powerful, just the grace of God and just how good the Father is. And let's read together. Father, I pray that you'd speak to us this afternoon. I pray that your presence would rest powerfully in this place, Lord. I pray that you would speak, as Colin said, into our hearts, and that you would make us to come alive in your presence, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through to verse 19, the Apostle Paul obviously writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. It's not that you might have more knowledge. It's that you may know him better. Yeah? How many of you would say, yeah, Lord, that's the prayer of my heart today. God, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation that I wouldn't just know about you, but that I would know you. That I would know your heart, that I would know your voice, that I would know what you're like. I would know what it is to live in this kingdom where I get to be a citizen of heaven, where I get to be a son or a daughter of the king. What a privilege. So he prays that. He prays, God, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we would know you better. Then he prays, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened or opened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for those who believe. And you can hear the passion of Paul praying that this church would know God, that they would know his voice, that they would know his heart, that they would be intimate with him, but equally so, that they would know the hope to which they had been called. And so he's praying this prayer that we would know God, but that we would know that we were created with a purpose. That God knew us before we were made. That you might have been a surprise to your parents, but you weren't to God. And God had a plan and a purpose for your life even before your parents knew each other. Isn't that exciting? And so there's a sense you're saying, come on, church, let's know God and let's know why we are here. And I think as I read that passage, these two things really came alive in me a number of years ago. I'll tell you a bit of my journey. I grew up in, as I said a moment ago, in Cape Town in South Africa, and I grew up in a great family. We didn't really go to church, to be honest, but my parents loved us, and my parents believed in us. My parents believed in the potential that we had, and they did everything in their power to help us become the people that we were to become and do the things that we were passionate about. And I'm really grateful for that, that God put me in such a wonderful family. But despite the fact that we never really went to church, I don't know why, but from a young age, I just had a real passion for the presence of God. And no one really needed to convince me that God was real. And from the time when I can remember, I knew he was. And I remember we would go to school, we'd pray the Lord's Prayer, Our Father art in heaven. And I think for most people, that was just a thing that they did. But for me, there was something in that that just went, God, I know you're real and I want to know you. And throughout my school years, I kept having these encounters with the Holy Spirit. I remember sitting in a classroom age 10. I can remember it like it was yesterday. And the teacher read out the story of Abraham and Isaac and how Abraham was called to sacrifice what was most dear to him. And I remember it's like the presence of God came in the room and touched my heart. And I knew that God was speaking to me. He said, Mark, I want you to lay down your life for me. And this kept happening. And I kept meeting people and things would happen. But although I kept having these encounters with the Holy Spirit, my life never really changed. And there was little to no impact around me. But this all changed when I went to university in Cape Town and I was invited to go to this church one Sunday. And I remember going and evening service and the worship was amazing. And a guy by the name of Floyd McClung, you might have heard of him, wrote the book, The Father Heart of God, was the speaker on that particular evening. And he spoke and it just touched my heart in such a significant way. And the service ended and it was an amazing service. I mean, loads of people gave their lives to Jesus. It was just incredible. There's like an altar call done, and I didn't respond because I'd given my life to the Lord. But the worship team began to play, and everyone kind of got up as the service finished to leave, and I got up to leave. And as I was about to leave, the presence of God just fell upon my life. And I never experienced this before, but from the end of my fingers to the tips of my toes, for the next literally half an hour, I found myself shaking under what I know to be was just the power and the presence of God. And I found myself literally weeping for about half an hour, which was seriously uncool being a 19-year-old, especially when there's nothing that you're upset about. But I wept and wept and wept as the power of God literally flowed through my body. And it was like these electrical whatever just pumping through my body. And I had the most phenomenal encounter with the Holy Spirit. Whatever words you want to use, was I baptized or full of the Holy Spirit? Who cares? I know I encountered God, and my life has never really been the same again. It was as if a fire was put inside of me. And I went from that service that Sunday night in July of 1995, and I knew two other Christians, and we kind of began to meet, and we said, like, we should do something. What should we do? I haven't got a clue what we should do, but we should tell people about Jesus. And we began to do that, and with, like, zero training or any clue as to what you're supposed to do, we started doing that. Over the next months, we saw probably, I don't know, 50, 60 people coming to Christ, and we started to see people who had kind of once given their lives to the Lord, but had backslidden, coming back to the Lord, and we saw people getting healed, and just the most amazing things began to happen. And from that place, it was as if God just launched me and my friends into just seeing him do incredible things, going to schools and on university campuses. And I remember one day sharing my testimony in a school. And at the end, literally like the whole class gave their lives to the Lord. And these people came forward. And there was this one young lady who had broken her ankle and she was in a cast and unable to walk properly. And I said, wow, we should just pray for you. So I got everyone who just given their lives to the Lord to lay hands on her and pray for her. And said, you know, God, this God that you've given your heart to, he also heals people because he loves you. And they began to pray for her and nothing seemed to happen. And she left the classroom. And about 5 minutes later, I just hear screaming in the corridor. She comes running in, jumping on her broken ankle, shouting, I'm healed, I'm healed. Isn't this amazing? I duly got kicked out of that school and never got to go back again. But don't know why. But just saw God do the most amazing things. And I think when I look back on that season and what happened in my life, it was these two things. The first was that Jesus came alive to me. And I think I look back over all those years where I know I knew about him, but I didn't know him. I knew the stories, but I didn't really know the author of the stories. And it was like suddenly he got flesh on him. It was suddenly like he came alive. It was suddenly like all I wanted to do was be with him. All I wanted to do was worship him. And I remember we every moment we had as friends, we would, you know, don't tell anyone, we'd bunk a few lectures at university, but don't tell my dad that. But, you know, we would look for every moment, get a guitar, we're going to sing, we're just going to worship because all you want is his presence. Do you relate to that this evening? And so that was the first thing. Just it was like he came alive. But it wasn't just that. It was like suddenly I began to realize that there was destiny upon my life. There was purpose upon my life. That God had, you know, seen me before I was born, and he had a plan for my life and a purpose for my life. And suddenly there was this contentment but dissatisfaction that said, I don't want to just go through the motions for the rest of my life. I want to do something with my life that would affect eternity. And that's what I think the Apostle Paul is praying, that we would have this revelation of who God is, this understanding that, as I think Colin said at the beginning, something along the lines of Hebrews says that we can have confidence to come right into the presence of God. God never intended for us to be a people who saw him from a distance. That was never God's heart. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. I got four amazing kids. I don't want them to be distant. I want to embrace them. Yeah. My youngest daughter is 7 years old. Her name's Justine. Bedtime is amazing. She will not let me leave the room without about 15 hugs and kisses. And she's so affectionate. And it's just, I love it so much. I think that's the heart that God wants for us to have with him. He wants us intimate. Does that make sense to you? And so there's the sense of come closer, come into my presence, but also the fact that there's purpose on each and every one of our lives. And one of the things that I personally am passionate about seeing is seeing the bride of Christ come alive to the sense of purpose and destiny he has for each and every one of us. There's something amazing as you journey. You know, purpose is not about one day finding something. It's a journey that we walk on. But to know that there is purpose and destiny upon our lives, that there is a reason that we're here, God, would you help me to understand what that is? And I want to just talk briefly about that and that sense of calling and purpose. Why am I here? Have you asked that question? Lord, why am I here? Not necessarily Sunday afternoon, why am I here? But why? I don't know why you're here. No, what am I doing here? Why did God make you? What is it that you're on this earth for? Because if we don't know, we will just kind of go through life. And as I said, it's not about just, you know, one day I'll discover it and one day I'll do something and that's it. No, it's a whole journey of walking with the Lord. But at the same time, God, I want to know what it is that you have for me. What was in your mind when you created me? You know, Paul says, I pray that you would take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of you. Yeah. I don't know about you. That's my prayer. God, I want to take hold of the reason and the purpose that you took a hold of my life. So when I think about calling, there's a few things that come to mind for me. I think on the one hand, calling, purpose, destiny, whatever word you want to use, we're all called to the same thing. If you want to know why you're here, go and read Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. It's like this blueprint for our existence. And in this chapter, we see God, obviously, creation and making Adam and Eve. But there's a few things that stand out for me as to why we're all here, what it is that he made us for. One, he made Adam and Eve and you and I for relationship with the Father, the greatest thing that we can have, know, and experience. It's all about him. He made us as an expression of his love. You know, we often say God didn't create us to become servants that can meet his needs. He created us as children in whom he can express his love. Does that make sense? And before anything else, it's about our relationship with him. It's also about our relationship with one another, that we were not made to live in isolation. We were not made to do life on our own. We need each other. Yeah? That's why we gather. Because we could all go and watch something on TV, like about Jesus. But actually, we want to come together because we realize there's something about community and family and doing life together. Amen? Does that make sense to you? And so that's the first thing. Then there's the sense of the fact that there's this stewardship or responsibility, whatever word you want to use, that God gives Adam and Eve a piece of land and he says, take care of this and grow this and tend this. And in the same way, like God's given you a family, God's given you a property maybe, God's given you a space, he's given you gifts and talents, and there's this call to journey with God in that. But not just that, I think Adam and Eve were created to take the presence of God that they enjoyed, and Eden was to spread to the rest of the world. And in the same way, why am I here? God, well, I'm here for you. I'm here for one another. But there's a world out there that is desperately in need, more so than ever before, to encounter a good God. I just need someone to say, yeah, amen. Is that right? And so the Bible says Christ in us is the hope of glory. He says we are the ambassadors of Christ. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. I'm like, God, it would be so much easier if you just did it without me because I mess up. How many of you say, yeah, that's true? All right. But you know what? God is amazing. He chooses to do life with us. He says, you know what? I could wrap it all up, save the world, do whatever. Jesus, no. He says, I want to do it with you. And you know, as a parent, you realize it's sometimes challenging, but it's beautiful to do life with your kids. You don't want to do it alone, do you? And so the Father wants to do this, you know, with each and every one of us. So there's this call to Him. There's this call to what He's given us. There's this call to the world. And we're all called to walk in that. But then specifically, I am convinced that when God made you, He made you unique, yeah? And he put a unique plan and purpose upon each and every one of your lives. And so there's things that I get to do that you don't, and there's things that you get to do that I don't, because we're uniquely created and made, and there's something special for each and every one of us to discover. So what does that look like? Well, I'm convinced that what we do is in alignment with who we are. So God's not going to get you to do something that just doesn't fit who you are, yeah? So I ask questions like, what am I passionate about? What makes me come alive? I think what you do in life is in alignment with those things. Do you agree with me? Who am I? What am I passionate about? What gets me out of bed in the morning? What am I excited about? But at the same time, what burdens me? When I look in this world, what is it that I get excited about? But what is it that I look and I go, that's wrong. We've got to do something about that. So for me, I am, you might have heard already, passionate about seeing people not just know about God, but know Him. Personally, I want to just give the rest of my life to inspiring and encouraging people to know Jesus. And I want to see people come alive in their relationship, but I want to see them come alive in terms of their purpose, which is what I'm speaking to you about today. If you hear me speak, I just say the same thing over and over again. This is my passion. And what about you? What are you passionate about? What are you burdened by? What makes you tick? What makes you come alive? But what makes you go, this is wrong. We need to do something about that. Maybe the sense of purpose on your life is connected to those questions. So what do you see? And who do you see? But I've also learned that to become the person that God says I am and to do the things that God says that I can do, I cannot discover them without the people around me. And so one of my favorite passages of Scripture is in Judges chapter 6, which is the story of Gideon. I'm sure many of you have read the story before, but Gideon's this young man who is hiding away in this wine press, and he's underground, and he's in fear, and there's all this inadequacy on him, and he's doubting himself, and so on and so forth. He's basically hiding away, and God comes to speak to him, and he says, Gideon, you are a mighty warrior. Now, nothing in Gideon's behavior at that time would suggest that is true. Yeah? Make sense? It's like, God, are we talking about the same person here? And so God comes, the angel of the Lord comes, and he says, this is who you are. You are a mighty warrior. I love it that God doesn't speak to us according to our current performance, but according to our potential. Wow, that's amazing. That when God looks at our lives, he doesn't see the mess ups. And he goes, that's who you are. You're a mighty warrior. You're a carrier of my presence. I believe in you. I'm for you. And so God comes and he speaks this into Gideon's life. But then Gideon's like, but I don't understand. If, you know, he's got all these excuses and, you know, if this is that and why is this all happening to us? And then he says, but I'm the weakest in my family and my family's the weakest in the whole clan or whatever it is. And so at some point in his life, he has believed this lie about who he is. And the result of believing this lie about who he is that he's hiding away in fear. But the Lord comes to him and he begins to speak into his life, this is who you are. I don't know if you can see it. It's like Gideon suddenly going, really? Are you sure? That's who you are. And I guess he's starting to shake off these lies of going, I'm nothing, I'm pathetic, I'm useless, what can I do? And he starts to believe in himself and this confidence comes back actually, you can do this. So he comes out of hiding, out of fear, and he leads 300 men to defeat the enemy of 30,000 people. What was all this about? Because someone spoke the truth about who he was. So when it comes to discovering not just who God is, but discovering who you are, I have realized that I need other people in my life. I need God to tell me who I am, but I also need other people around me who love me, who believe in me, who know me, who can speak into my life and say, that's who you are. I was driving recently in the car with a friend of mine. We were going to one of the Ignite somewhere, and as we were driving along, he said to me, he said, you know, Mark, it's exciting to see what God is doing and in your life and so on, but he challenged me. And he said, you know what, I want to lovingly say to you, there's more. This is who you are. And he began to just like boldly speak into my life. And I was like, yeah, come on, that's so true. Not because I want to, you know, kind of glow in the dark and whatever it is, but actually because he's right. And my spirit was saying yes, because there's people who need what we each carry. And to have a friend look into my heart saying, I know you, I know the potential. And this is not to kind of boast or anything, but he's saying, align yourself with the truth of who God says that you are. And as I listened to him, I was like, yeah, come on. Not that I can get the glory, but that he can get the glory. And because other people need to know who Jesus is. And by me hiding away in fear, no one's going to hear the goodness of God. So it's time for the church to stand up. It's time for the church to arise. I think it's in Corinthians. It says all of creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. So it's like, I know Colin told me this once. Sometimes, well, Billy got it from you. I got it from Billy. But here's the source of it all. No, Jesus is, but you know what I mean. Here's the man. He said, you know, sometimes what we do in life is we think if we just pray, then God will just like respond and do it all. But actually, when we pray, God speaks. Is that right? And when God speaks, our hearts come alive. Destiny begins to pump through our veins. And we step out like Peter in faith. We begin to walk on the water. And as we step out in obedience, God begins to move. So here's the thing. God can do it all, but he chooses to limit himself to our faith. Wow. And so he, in a sense, God, we're waiting. Yeah, it's good to wait on him, but actually sometimes maybe he's waiting on us to us emerge, to arise, and to take hold of him and the destiny and purpose that he has for each and every one of our lives. But here's the thing. Sometimes we need other people to say, Colin, that's who you are. So what we're going to do in closing, I think we're going to have communion in a moment. Is that right? I'm probably spoken a bit too short, but hey, that's okay. Can we do it now? No? Later? Yeah. So here's what I want to do is I want for us this afternoon to not just sit and listen. I hope it's been okay, but I want us to get involved and do something together. And I want us to take a moment and go, there are Gideons in this room who need to hear who God says that they are. Yeah? And if God has chosen to take up residence in my heart and God says, I can be a prophetic voice. I have the power to help people to step into their destiny and purpose by the words that I speak. So to be prophetic, 1 Corinthians 14 is to encourage, is to exhort, is to comfort. To be prophetic is to align your speech with heaven's view of another person. So it doesn't have to be all out, one day I see you doing this. No, no. To be a prophetic people is to learn to train yourself to speak God's words over someone else's life. And God's words are always encouraging. They're exhorting, they're comforting, they're strengthening, they believe in people. So here's what we're looking to do is imagine a group of men and women who are prophetic both inside and outside the church, who learn how to speak God's heart over people's lives, that they would discover who they are. Make sense? So what I want you to do is I would like to take a few minutes, and I'd love you to get out of your seat and go and find two or three people one at a time, and say, you know what, when I look at you, this is what I see. Be the angel of the Lord, in inverted commas, I'm not being disrespectful, you know what I mean, and saying, mighty warrior, woman of faith, communicator of the gospel. Go and speak what you see over the people in this room, and then we'll come back together again. Is that cool with everybody? Can we do that? So, jump up to your feet. Maybe, Sheena, would you mind just playing a little bit as we do this? Go and find two or three people and say, this is what I see in you. And encourage them and strengthen them and believe in them. And we'll take maybe 5 or so minutes to do that. And then we'll come back together. And then we're going to pray together. And then I think we're going to have communion. So don't stay where you are. Get up, move around, go find somebody. If you want to pray for them, go pray for them. If you want to just prophesy over them, do that. But tell them who God says that they are.